King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring them to the palace, some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. "Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men," he said. "Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon." The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. Azariah was called Abednego.
She did well. I think that deserves an applause. Oh, wait till the next time you read. All right. Is it not true that everybody takes hits in life? Isn't it true? Now, I'm like you. I try to avoid those hits to the best of my ability, and it doesn't matter how good you are at life. In fact, it doesn't matter even how good you are at faith. Everybody takes hits. Everybody's world gets rocked from time to time. Things generally that, well, we don't expect, that we don't want in our life. But they come with the territory, don't they? Daniel becomes a very good example of real life, of real faith. And we will learn over the next several weeks, I think, some just fantastic, down-to-earth faith things that will help us move forward, especially when we're taking a hit in life. Let's begin with verse 1. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, by the way, nothing good comes out of Babylon, just so you know. They came to Jerusalem, and what did they do? They besieged it. Have you noticed that your life gets besieged? It gets taken over? We get besieged by a lot of things. Sometimes we're besieged with bad medical news. Maybe we're besieged by the death of a loved one. Our life is besieged at times by the divorce of our partner, the betrayal of our business partner, a bad forecast, a bad bottom line. The stuff of life that is negative and bad and evil, it comes our way. It comes our way. And so we can all relate in one way or another, can't we? Sure we can. It would be easier in life if all the besieging was over. One day it will be over. But today is not that day. And so I think there are some things to learn from Daniel about what we do when our life is besieged. Now, it's true, Daniel was one of the varsity players. Select only the strong, healthy, and good-looking young men. Ladies, you know what he's talking about, don't you? That's right. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning and gifted with good knowledge and good judgment and are suitable to serve in the royal palace. He's looking for the leaders in Jerusalem, isn't he? The young leaders. He says, now go get me all the millennials. Right? Give me all the high school graduates who were all in the top 10% of their class. I'll take the valedictorian, the salutatorian, right? They looked for the young leaders so that they could flip them and use them to become the leaders of Babylon, of all the Jews that were there. They had a plan. They had a plan of assimilation, of taking these young men who are obviously very talented and very gifted and turning them into Babylonians so that they could do the bidding of their new country. Because they're not going home. They've been besieged. And now they're in the aftermath, the aftershocks of this earthquake, this tornado, this tsunami that has taken place in their life and in their world. You'll notice that they've got an assimilation plan because they start by giving everybody a new name. And names being changed in the Bible talk about that's really an outward sign that things are changing. Abram's name was changed to Abraham. Jacob was turned to Israel. Saul was turned to Paul. Here, guys, I'll give you a little easier one for you to relate to. Cassius Clay is... Right? Lew Alcindor is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. See, this is an ancient thing. Being besieged is not an ancient thing. Well, it's ancient, but it's not ancient only. It's real, and it happens in life. So what do? You can't prevent being besieged. It just happens. Well, here's one hint we get from the book of Daniel in the beginning is don't be surprised by that. Look at verse 1. During the third year, our lives will be besieged. In the third year, in the 13th year, in the 33rd year, in the 63rd year, in the 93rd year. Our sovereign God knows not only all of history, but he knows our history. And he knows that if you're going to live in this world, your life is going to be besieged from time to time. And so we shouldn't be surprised by that. Peter, when we were looking at Peter a few months ago, we looked at this passage. Remember what Peter says. Dear friends, don't be shocked or surprised. Don't be shocked or surprised when you suffer through painful tests and trials, if it's something strange is happening to you. Now, let me caution you. Don't be surprised, but also don't be fearful. That's the challenge of when something comes and besieges our life is we become afraid of what's in the future. We become stressed out and we become worried. And one of the things we'll learn in the book of Daniel, and we've learned at other places, is God is very good at taking something bad in our life and doing something very good in and through it, if we'll let Him. So I want to encourage you, don't be surprised. Also, don't be fearful or worried. Now, I'm like you. When the shock waves come to my life, I want to kind of size up the seismic shock waves of my life. Something's happened. I feel as though I've been besieged, and I'm like you. First of all, I want to know who to blame, right? You know, King Nebuchadnezzar and his army have come over from Babylon, and they have besieged and taken everybody back into slavery. I'd be complaining along the way. Hey, who was on guard that morning? Who was sleeping in? Hey, who was hungover from the poker party? Who did not do their job? Because somebody must not have done their job, because my life has been besieged. Number two, it begins to settle in. After we blame someone human, we always end up blaming God. And if you're in grief and loss and shock of emotion because your life has been besieged, God can take it. And I would encourage you to have it out with God. Let Him know you don't think this is right. You don't feel like He's loving you. Get it out. Express it to God. Because as we express these very honest emotions and realities to God, what is great is now we're in conversation with Him. Before, we were like this. In our anger, in our loss. But once we start raising a fist and praying a very honest prayer to God, now we're in a position to hear God tell us, no, I love you. I'll be with you. See, don't be surprised. You live in this original sin-affected world. Stuff happens. Our lives become besieged. And yes, I'm with you. I yearn for the day where that will never happen again. I want to go to the place where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. That's the right place to spend eternity. We want to know. We want to blame someone else. We want to live in this world with blinders as if original sin doesn't impact us. The other thing that's true is we hang around with a few people that aren't perfect. When our lives are besieged, it's very much an indicator that evil is still alive and well in the world we live in. That bad happens to good people. That sometimes the bad people get away with things. It rains on the just and the unjust, doesn't it? It shines on those that are righteous and those that are unrighteous. So we shouldn't be surprised. We are not alone. And yes, even though there is evil in the world, Jesus has overcome these things. Because if he can overcome death, the rest of it's easy, isn't it? Number two, know that that God has something good going on. Jeremiah 29:11 is a good verse to hang on to. The plans I have for you, and Jeremiah is speaking for God. So God is saying the plans that I have for you are plans for good, not to harm you. Now, a lot of us were taught, oh, if you mess up, God's going to harm you. Didn't you learn that? Haven't you heard that? Haven't you felt that? And our initial reaction when our lives are besieged is we go, well, we kind of deserve this, don't we? We haven't been very faithful to God. We haven't been very consistent when it comes to our relationship with God. And so just like a human relationship, we think people get mad and walk away, but God does not do that. That is not who he is. His plans for us are good. They are not for harm, Jeremiah tells us. They are plans to give us what? A hope and a future. And wow, when your life's besieged, you have very little hope. And you fear the future. God wants to walk in and he wants to say, don't ever give up hope. And don't fear the future, because I hold your future and I love you. We are God's children. We are the object of his affection. So we learn in Daniel that God is about doing good things out of the difficulty of life when our life is besieged. And here's the deal. We don't always get to see what the good is. I think one of the blessings is we do often get to see the good out of the difficulty in our life when our life is besieged, but we don't see it all. And here's my thing. I'm kind of grabbing on to the idea that when I die and go to heaven, if Jesus doesn't sit with me, then Peter will. And Peter will point out to me all the good things God did when my life was besieged. Now, if he doesn't do that, I know I just won't care anymore. That's so glorious, right? I don't care. You know, it's all good. Here's what we see in the life of Daniel up ahead. So here's the focus, one of the focus points of each message coming up. Number one, we learn from Daniel that in times of difficulty, he's corrected. Other times in his life, in the midst of being besieged, he finds that he reflects a little bit more. That there's a course change, a course correction that needs to happen in his life. That change does come. That one of the good things that happens out of bad things is sometimes God is just keeping us from something worse. Well, why would that happen? Well, what would happen if that didn't happen? Perhaps something worse. We see in Daniel's life that he matures not only in terms of his human character, but his godly character. That ultimately God is about maturing us. Paul tells us that in Ephesians. You know, the goal of all of this is to worship God and then be able to present one another as mature in Christ. And we all know we mature more when our lives are being besieged than we do when we're on vacation. Although you can turn paradise into hell, but that's another issue. Here's the hard part. When we don't understand, we need to trust God. Now, you do have that choice. If you choose not to trust God in the midst of being besieged, I can't make you. I can't make you. But God gives us a great invitation. When we don't understand, we can look to the God that loves us, and He knows it all. Man, we can't even see, you know, beyond this afternoon. It's not only one day at a time, man, it might be minute to minute. And we can choose to be full of fear and worry and stress, or we can choose to trust in God. And yeah, when your life is being besieged, that's some work. That takes some focus. That takes some yielding and surrendering to God. And as we yield and surrender to Him, it's amazing the good things that God does, and He gets us to it, through it, and beyond it, doesn't He? I always want to know what and why. I'm kind of an analytical person. And you know, my life isn't always besieged, but there are a lot of little battles too, aren't there? And when those all start to happen, I always, well, what is happening and why is this happening? I don't always know. I don't always know. Sometimes things that happened, and I'm giving you a real example, but not telling you about it. I was a part of something by phone over 12 years ago. In the last 3 months, I have been on site with the same issue that I was on the phone with 12 years ago. Can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff happen. It is the way that life in this world is. And our choice is not to keep all the besieging from us. You'll never do it. Our choice is to trust in the God that loves us, who holds our future even though we don't know our future. We don't always know why and what. Great wisdom here, Proverbs 20:24. Since the Lord is directing our steps, there's a whole nother message. It's interesting to think that the way that the Lord has numbered and directed our steps, we might be directed right into a battle, right into a confrontation, right into difficulty. Since the Lord is directing our steps, why try to understand everything? Because I am a very smart human being. And because I'm a very smart human being, I want to know everything. I love Google. Siri is one of my best friends. Tell me about this. See, it's very human. It's human to want to understand everything that is happening to us along the way in life. But the wisdom here is y'all never know. Well, you might know some things, but you're never going to know everything. You might avoid a lot of besieging in your life by your good choices. Good choices are good. But everybody's life is besieged. No one gets out of this world scot-free. Even the pastor wakes up at 2:30 in the morning and thinks he's having a heart attack. We want to understand it all. We want to understand it all because we want to control it all, don't we? And we can't. We can't, but God can and God does. One more good verse about trusting God. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Notice, not your head. Your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Not your head. Your heart. Honor the Lord in everything you do. That's about your heart, not about your head. And He will give you success that starts in your heart and goes to your mind and shows up in how you think and what you feel and how you behave when your life is rocked, when your life or the life of someone near you is besieged. Remember, God is always with us.